Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Stoma for Life here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Now, at this time of the year, wherever you're tuning in, it's a perfect time to pause for a moment and to reflect. Together, we've shared extraordinary stories, learned valuable lessons, and uncovered strength we didn't know we had. I'm so grateful you're here to continue this journey with me. This past year has been filled with remarkable conversations. One that stands out is my talk with Mr. Sinner, my consultant, about the importance of early detection in bowel cancer. It's a powerful reminder how proactive healthcare can save lives. Another unforgettable moment was with Caroline Bramwell, who showed that life after surgery can be extraordinary. Competing in multiple Ironman events with a stoma, she shattered expectations, her own and the world's, about what's possible. I've also had the privilege to host other incredible guests like Paola Heckel, the self-proclaimed rock star of ostomates. After years of struggling with Crohn's disease, his stoma saved his life, and now he wears it like a badge of honor. Through his music and his TikTok pages, he's inspired millions, educating people about ostomy life and proving that a stoma is not the end, but a new beginning. Then we've got Megan Carey-Brown, who redefined what living with a stoma means by having two beautiful children after surgery, and I do believe she's pregnant with her third child. Her story is a beacon of hope for those wondering if they can still live a fulfilling life. She shows that that's not only possible, but it's also truly inspiring. And we can't forget Nathaniel Dye, who, despite having terminal cancer, continues to educate and uplift others. These stories resonate deeply because they remind us of the power of resilience, the importance of hope, and the beauty of determination. For me, they also tie in something very personal. Over the past year, I've been on my own journey of growth. I'm proud to share that I've officially become a life coach, focusing on helping ostomates who are struggling to adapt to their new lives. Let's be honest, it's not easy. Adjusting to life with a stoma can feel overwhelming. We've all had those hard days when it feels like everything's too much, and those feelings are valid. But here's the thing, those days don't define you. The key is to move forward, to embrace hope, and to start building a future you can thrive in. And that's where I come in. If you're listening to this and thinking, I need somebody to guide me through this, I'd be honored to help you. So please don't hesitate to reach out via my website. That's stomaforlife.com, and we can find a way to make your life brighter and more fulfilling. Now, let's turn to today's guest, someone who's embodied the resilience and positivity that all my guests share. When she first joined me, her story was so compelling that it took two episodes to tell it. Diagnosed with a rare cancer, pseudomyxoma peritonei, she underwent a life-saving surgery that required the removal of 8 organs. It's called the mother of all surgeries. Can you imagine that? After that time, she went home with almost no information about the condition, a reality that many people with rare disease face. But instead of letting that hold her back, she made it her mission to change the narrative. Over the past year, her journey has gone global. She's become a passionate advocate, raising awareness about Pseudomyxoma peritonei and providing the kind of support she wished she had received. After the break, I'll catch up with her to hear about the incredible work she's been doing, the challenges she's faced, and the hope she continues to spread. It's a conversation filled with inspiration and strength. Stay tuned.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I am so excited to reintroduce today's guest, somebody whose story continues to inspire people around the world. Faye Louise first joined me to share her extraordinary journey with Pseudomyxoma peritonei, a rare form of appendix cancer. Her life-saving surgery to remove 8 organs was just the beginning of a powerful mission to raise awareness and provide hope for others navigating this rare disease. Faye, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on Stoma for Life. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
You know, in episode 10 and 11, you shared your extraordinary journey. It was a very powerful episode, well, 2 episodes, and it was titled From a Cyst to a Rare Cancer Called Pseudomyxoma Peritonei. I practiced.
Yes, I think you have, haven't you? You've probably heard it enough throughout the year on my socials.
I have. And, you know, it was just to capture this incredible story. That's why, I mean, from a cyst to a rare cancer, I know you've recently had all your scans, and I intentionally waited for those results before scheduling this interview, because today we are here to celebrate a huge milestone together, because you are NED. No evidence of disease. What an incredible high to share with our listeners.
That's right. Yeah. I had my scan based in Stoke and the results came back quicker than I expected, actually. No evidence of disease. All my tumour markers are well below the range. So, yeah, another year of going to make memories and have some adventures.
Absolutely. Adventures you've been on and memories you've made. And that's why we're actually here today for you to actually share what has happened in your life ever since we spoke last, because I know there have been so many tremendous challenges for yourself. And perhaps you can just tell everyone what's been happening.
So I think the last time we spoke was on the live, wasn't it? And I was about to do the Race for Life.
Exactly.
I did the Race for Life for Cancer Research UK. I think I raised like £2,180 in the end on my own, which was like fantastic. Everyone that donated, I'm always grateful for everyone's support. And yeah, I went there on the day with the mindset of I just need to get to the finishing line. Yeah. It was in Brighton in Stanmer Park, and I mean, the hill to start with was just like the biggest hill I'd seen since I've come out of this operation. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to finish me off if I even got around the course. And it was a struggle, I'm not going to lie. I think 2 hours, eight minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. But my focus was very much on, I need to do this for my mom. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this for myself to show everyone that, you know, you can have a massive surgery like this and you can be down into the depths of despair, but you can also come up from it and achieve something. And as soon as I got over the finishing line, it was a very emotional day, but I was filled with a lot of pride in myself. Yeah. That I managed to finish it. And then I got home and got in my lovely hot tub and raised the glass for my mom up there. So yeah, it was a really good day. I enjoyed it and continue my partnership with Cancer Research into other things that I've been doing throughout the year with them.
Yeah. So are you able to share what you've been doing with them?
Yeah, so I did a talk back in October. I was invited to an event at the Amex in Brighton, just basically a talk, more awareness, if you like, to be out there. And yeah, just sharing my story with with a room full of people. And a lot of people came to me and said, I never even knew you could get appendix cancer. I never even heard of this before. So it just shows that every other little event that I'm doing or article or something, there's always someone learning. And that's what I've sort of gone out there to achieve, is to educate the world. And I think that's what I have achieved. So I'm immensely proud of myself and all my efforts.
Yeah. No, you should be, because obviously on the last show, I think we had something like 74,000 listeners. Those are 74,000 people more that have heard about this. It's so vital to, for somebody like yourself, that's, I mean, you know, if I look at you now, perfectly beautiful woman, and you would never know what you've been through. And a lot of times people judge you by the outside, by looking and seeing, oh, you know, she can't be ill, or, you know, she looks lovely. But there is always that hidden story, and there's always so much more. And I think it's just so important that somebody like you showcases it. You don't keep it to yourself. You actually let the world see what's happening and what has happened to you. Because
I did an interview with the patient story, and I can't believe that is, like, apart from obviously the 74K listeners for yourselves, the traction on that story, and still to this day, may I add, it's getting comments and hits. It's now on nearly 60K views and hits on YouTube. And I think that's been my second biggest exposure for this.
Yeah. And I know it's gone viral all over the world. I know you've had coverage in, I think, even on Australia. And so, I mean, that must be quite something to see your stories going all around the globe.
It's been absolutely insane. I mean, I never imagined that it would ever catapult and snowball into anything like it has done. But then, and I'm happy it has, because, you know, it's not only the UK that deserves to know about this. So, you know, I've had a lot of people come to me on social media. I get a lot of messages on my Instagram. I try and reply to them all, but obviously I'm back at work full time now, and that is a little bit tiring for me, being quite active again in the sort of level that I am active with the flight dispatching. Yeah. So, but yeah, people, you know, they come to me and they say, my family's seen your story, my mum's been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. As a family, you've helped us, you've given us hope for the surgery. And, you know, it's not just pseudomyxoma that the mother of all surgery is for. It's for other cancers as well. So it might not be the same cancer that someone's been diagnosed with, but it's the same surgery. Yeah. And, you know, when people hear that you have to have the mother of all surgery, we've got to take this, you know, if someone can just see that I've got through it, and you can get your life and your body back into this new normal, mm-hmm. then it just gives people hope. And yeah, it's like my tagline through all the interviews I've ever done, is that's all I want to do, is just give people hope so they don't feel alone.
Exactly. Now, for those that perhaps had not listened to the two previous episodes, just very briefly share with us what was done and what was removed. And I know you had chemo afterwards as well. Maybe just briefly in a nutshell, so everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, so diagnosed with pseudomyxoma peritonei, I had to undergo mother of all surgery. I had to lose my spleen, my gallbladder, my appendix, part my liver, part my small bowel, scrape my diaphragm, scrape all my pelvis one side to the other. I took the appendix, obviously, where the tumour was, and then blasted me with the HIPEC, which is the heated chemotherapy, 110 Fahrenheit, while I was on the table. Yeah. Very brutal surgery. You know, and I do have some struggles to this day. I still get the groin ache. I still get lower back ache. And I just think that that's just something after this magnitude of surgery. Yeah. They've cut through a lot of my nerve endings. They've done a lot of work in there. So mm-hmm. I don't think I'm ever going to be 100% as I ever was before this, mm-hmm. With my health or with my, like, the aches and the pains. But at the end of the day, it's minor aches and pains to still being able to be here and, you know, see more of the world and make memories and have Christmas. And it's just minor compared to what some people don't get to see Christmas, you know. Yeah. I've lost a few pseudomyxoma friends through the year. Mm-hmm. Scarlett was only 30, I think, in her 30s. I can't remember the exact age. And yeah, she had recurrence and it took her life in the end. And I've had someone had recurrence with high grade. And so it does come back for some people. And I see them stories and that will put me down again. But I have to try and drag myself up and remember that I'm not them.
Yeah.
You know, as harsh as it sounds, we're all different. We have the same cancer, we have the same surgery, but our bodies all act differently. And you just have to be thankful that you're still here and you can do things that you want to do.
Yeah. And I mean, what you've just said is so vital, because it's your personal reflection on it and the way you deal with it. I think you should also, I say to a lot of my friends or people that are struggling with, be it cancer or be it other life-changing and challenging topics, you know, you've got your own pace. You cannot compare yourself to somebody else that's might have.
No. Then it's hard not to sometimes, yeah, because, you know, you kind of think to yourself, well, if the surgery can work for me, why can't it just work for everyone?
Yeah.
Like, why can't everyone just stay cancer-free? And
yeah,
they call it survivor's guilt. And I felt that so much throughout the year with hearing stories of people that have, you know, succumbed to the disease. And then you just think one day it might get me, it might not get me. And you're just living in limbo. That's what it's like with cancer. You know, you just live in absolute limbo. But you have to try and put it to the back of your mind the best you can. And some days I do. Sometimes, like, I wake up and I don't even think that I've been through this.
Yeah.
Like, I look in the mirror, and like when I was in New York, we went to New York for my 40th. It was a milestone birthday. And I was like, I don't like flying, but, you know, I want to see more of the world now, because when you've had cancer, it makes you want to just open your arms to everything that you can possibly grab in life. And I think that's what my mindset is now. So we went to New York, celebrated my 40th, just being on Liberty Island, you know. It was just a feeling like, wow, like I'm actually here,
yeah,
seeing my 40th, because I didn't think I would when I got diagnosed.
Yeah, yeah. And yes, and then, like you said, to be on Liberty Island. And I do know that you've met a fellow survivor of pseudomyxoma.
Yeah, yeah. Lindsay is actually, she was one of the first people to ever reach out to me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And our friendships remained all through my recovery and her own recovery. And it was just nice to meet in person in New York. Yeah, we had a crazy night in this restaurant where the I can't remember what it was called now, but yeah, it was that the chef he knew it was my birthday, basically. I mean, we went a day after my actual birthday, but yeah, and then when he got us singing like this song, like happy, 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 and yeah, it was just like, it was brilliant to meet someone. And then also after dinner, like, just sit and talk about how we feel about things. And but I think when you with someone that's been through it, you just feel like you can just tell them everything you're feeling, everything you're thinking, because you can guarantee they're going to turn around and say, yeah, well, I felt the same, or yeah, I had the same.
Yeah.
So it's just familiarization, I think, with someone that's actually been there. And I think that's why people come to me on Instagram, because they want to hear it from someone rather than just read it from the NHS website or read an article on Google. They actually want to approach someone that's been through it.
Yeah. And I mean, you're a real person. It's not just a statistic or a story. You are Faye, who's gone through it, and you are so approachable as well, which makes it so much easier for those that do reach out. Because I think, I mean, I'm just reflecting on my own story. I only had 6 days before I was before I had my surgery, and I couldn't reach out to anybody because I thought, what is life in an ostomy like? I don't even know what is going to happen. And I think it benefits greatly if you can, perhaps even before surgery, speak to somebody who's been through and gone through it positively, obviously, because you obviously want to uplift as well. You know, you're actually living your best life now.
Yeah, I mean, people will say to me, like, I'm really sorry to bother you. I wasn't sure to message. I've always said my inbox is open because I don't want people to go through what I went through. You're diagnosed and you're like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. But I do also, I don't sugarcoat it for anyone. You know, I'm honest about everything. I'll say that it's a brutal surgery. The pain after is excruciating. It's not going to be an easy ride. I mean, I could try and wrap it up all in ribbons for people, but then that's not fair. because you don't want to give like people false hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I have felt that I've done that with someone I spoke to, Carla. She sadly was going for the surgery, and when they went in, they couldn't get it all for her, mm-hmm. and they had to close her up. And then I just thought to myself, like, but I told her that the operation would be able to get it all. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, then you do sit and think, like, oh my God, like, did I give someone false hope there? But then her family's reached out to me and said, you know, we were always grateful for you giving your time to Carla, and even just talking to each other, and a little bit of hope that you gave her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do sometimes think, like, I wish it had ended differently for her, because it's terrible when I hear people that I've spoken to that have sadly, like, lost their lives, or it's come back, or they've not got long left.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's just focus on going back to work, which I think was also a very big milestone for you, because it's back to what I would say your old life, going back into familiar territory and something that you love doing. So
yeah.
how was that for you, going back to work?
I stayed on a phased return up until only October this year, really. I've returned full time. I stayed on a phased return, but I was doing like I stripped back right down to 4 hours for a couple of weeks, and then I went to 5 hours, then it was 6 hours, and then after I come back from New York, that's when I was said full time now. Mm-hmm. So 8.5 hour shifts. But yeah, the fatigue was bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you've not done this for a year. Yes, I've been out and about and walking around, but it's different when you're at work, because my job is very safety critical, mm-hmm. dealing with the aircraft, obviously dispatching, weight and balance and everything that comes with the role. So you're not just physically working, you're also mentally working. And I think my brain was like, what's going on? I haven't had to think about anything like this to this extent for about a year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the fatigue really hit me. But do you know what? These days, I don't really feel it that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just get a little bit of groin ache and lower back ache, but I am doing over 12,000 steps a shift.
Wow.
So it is a lot. My surgeon, my consultant at Basingstoke, when I told them on the day of the scan, they were just like, sorry, how many? I was like, yep. So yeah, just got to be careful not to overdo it. I mean, you know, you feel that you're all recovered and you're back and you're out and about, but yeah, they just told me to be very mindful of not overdoing it and then burning out and then falling back again, because I really don't want to be taking any steps backwards now, yeah. To be honest.
Yeah.
Because that will make me feel quite a little bit depressed, maybe, that I've come so far and then all of a sudden I've gone right back. And yeah, I don't want to be, I think, right now I'm at the very peak of the mountain. I don't want to be falling down it again.
If you don't look after yourself, it could happen. So you're obviously aware of it. And
yeah.
I'm sure you've got I know that your partner is also very supportive, and you always have to have people in your corner that have your back, which they will ultimately say, well, just take it easy now. Perhaps take your foot off the gas.
Yeah. I mean, I have cut out a lot since I've been through this. Like I try and stay away from processed meats.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my surgeon said, like, you can eat what you can, and you know eat what you want to enjoy what you did before. Nothing really scientifically proven that's going to make it come back, but I think when you've been through something like this, your body is a temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really drink that much anymore. You know, I sometimes have a blowout in the lazy spa, you know, a few cocktails or a bottle of Prosecco, but then that'll be it for a few weeks. I won't touch anything else, because I think when I do have alcohol, it's really weird mindset that cancer puts you into. I think just like, am I putting like toxins into my body? Am I poisoning my body?
Yeah.
I don't want to drink anymore like that. I mean, like that. Gotta sound like I was an alcoholic before, but I wasn't.
No.
But do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
When I was in New York, I probably had about like 3 cocktails for the whole trip, because we were doing a lot of walking throughout the day and I was very tired at night, and I just thought, I just don't want to drink and make myself feel any more rubbish, because I want to get the most out of my trip. And, you know, if I overdrink too much, I'm going to feel really rubbish and want to stay in bed. I'm not going to see everything that I want to see of New York. So alcohol has been a massive, I've toned it down quite a lot.
Yeah. You've just actually said it. You become much more aware of what's going on with your body, what you sort of put in your body, and you treat your body like a temple. Because, I mean, you've just proven actually to everybody else and you, and yourself, that your body is capable of so much, and the healing process is so incredible.
Mm.
If you think of what your body has been through, to see you sitting now across from me, even though it's via Zoom. But to think what the body's all been through and how well you've managed all this.
Yeah, a lot of people have called me a walking miracle,
yeah.
Superwoman, hero.
Yeah, take them all.
I know, so, but I just get like, I don't know how to be when people like compliment me from everything I've been through, because I think I'm just quite grounded.
Yeah, but take it.
Some people see me on Instagram, they'll say like, I didn't think you'd reply. And I was like, oh. Why? And they're like, because I see you as like famous or, you know, as somebody with, you've been all around the world with your story. And I'm like, I'm just me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a flight dispatcher at Gatwick that's unfortunately gone through what I've gone through. And I've had the platform previously to use it for doing good for the world and doing good for other people in the future. You know, like they said to me at the cancer research event that I did, however way you look at it, you've left a legacy.
Yeah.
For years and years and years to come, your story is always going to be there. Like, you've cemented yourself in the world with your story.
Yeah.
And it will always be there for people to look up and look back on and get hope and guidance from.
Exactly. Now we're going to hear from our station sponsors. We'll be back shortly. Don't go away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Now, welcome back to Stoma for Life. Now, Faye Louise, I want to hear more about Stand Up to Cancer. I saw the photographs on Instagram, and I think it was quite an orange, slimy affair. Tell me more about that.
So there was the idea. They approached me and said, we want to bring you in on another campaign, because the Race for Life campaign went really well. You raised quite a lot of money for us. And there was a few ideas chucked around the table at first, like maybe sit in a bath of baked beans. So the orange is the colour for Stand Up to Cancer, basically. So I was like, right, where would we put the bath? And then that idea got thrown out because, how to put it politely, the way of the world these days, we didn't want any backlash from people saying, well, look at the food you've wasted. You know, someone could have eaten them and you've wasted them sitting in the bar. So we were like, right, let's not go with beans, because we don't want to cause any backlash or anything. And then they were like, what about custard? We could colour it orange.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to them, what about gunge?
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, what would you want to be gunged? And then I just said, you know, well, why not? Like, it's for charity. And that's how the idea very much came around. Mm-hmm. And the local, my local pub, the Red Lion here in Slimfold in Sussex, they've always been great to me. You know, I did a fundraiser night there for Pseudomyxoma charity. And I just approached him and I said, you know, I've got this idea with Cancer Research UK. How about letting me have the garden in the pub? And yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, it wasn't brilliant trying to wash the gunge out of my hair.
I can imagine.
4 or 5 washes later. I mean, every time I lathered my hair up with the shampoo and thinking, oh, it's all gone, there was more. The water started to run cold. And I was in the shower because they've got rooms above the pub. So literally I was gunged, rushed up the back stairs, into the shower, still with my clothes on, because I thought, right, I'm covered in gunge, all my jeans and t-shirt. Let's wash the gunge off the jeans first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's all off, I can just get undressed and start doing my hair.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of doing my hair for the gunge to run all down the clothes?
Yeah.
So that's, but then the water started to go cold and, oh my God, I was freezing. But No, it was fun. You know, a lot of the regulars of the village came down and they all loved it. They were laughing at me. But it's fun. I think I raised like, was it nearly £2,000 in the end with gift aid and the bucket at the pub on the day as well. Yeah. And it all went to Cancer Research UK again. So, yeah, it was fun. It was another milestone, obviously a year on. So it tied in very much with life after MOAS, one-year milestone of having my surgery, because I actually did it on the anniversary of when I had the surgery. Yeah. So we timed it for the 1st of November, yeah.
Wow, incredible. And I mean, you did it with such grace. I saw the footage on Instagram, but thank you for sharing what actually happened afterwards, because I did wonder how you're going to get all that stuff out of your hair. And
yeah, it was a challenge. Yeah. And then I also thought, if it's in my hair too long, is it going to make my hair hot, like my hair orange? Because I've got work like in a couple of days' time. And if I'd worked for EasyJet, fair enough, orange is their colour, right? But I don't. So I needed to be sure it wasn't going to dye my hair.
Exactly, exactly.
But no, it was actually Gunge that they use on I'm a Celebrity, Big Brother. So it's actually a company that supplies Gunge for all the major game shows and things. So, but they assured me that it wouldn't dye me at all. It's water-based.
Now tell me, we are at the end of 2024. We are looking towards 2025. If you're listening to this in the new year, obviously, we want to actually know, what are your plans?
So Cancer Research UK have asked me to join forces with them for Race for Life again next year. It won't be the same. So I won't be like a case study, because I've had my time and, you know, that's that chapter's closed for that. But I will be making like guest appearances at the Race for Life events, like Pretty Muddy, one in Crawley and one in Brighton. I'll be there next year. And they want me to be like a finishing line person. I can't remember what they call it, but basically someone at the end of the finishing line, high-fiving people, you know, just pushing them on, not literally, saying like, you can do this, keep going, brilliant, and just things like that. So, yeah, they've asked me if I want to take part in that. And whatever else they come up with for me, really.
Yeah.
And I've got a cruise booked for May. So I've been on a cruise. And, you know, I've always wanted to, like, go on one. But, you know, like, you know, in life, you take it for granted you're always going to be here. So you just go, oh, we can do that in a few years' time. But you might not have that few years' time. So, yeah, it's just another year of making more memories and progressing at work and just seeing what comes next, because you never know what's around the corner, right?
Exactly. And I mean, you, well, like myself as well, I've actually said this to a very good friend of mine. Ever since I have had my surgery, I've lived my life more consciously. I've actually lived. I'm sure you know what I mean, because it's just like you said, you always put off until when one day, but you know, there is limited time for everything. You know, we are not creatures to be here forever. And we just take it for granted that we are.
Yeah. And I don't think, for anyone listening, I don't think there's any shame to be selfish. I mean, I'm not selfish to the point where, like, I don't do things for others. I mean, selfish to your own needs, because when you've been through cancer or any life-changing surgery or any life-changing illness, you just have to be very selfish for your own needs.
Yeah, it's self-care, actually. It's self-care, and you owe it to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm living my life unapologetically now. Yeah. And that's, I don't want drama. I don't want, you know, people just being around for the sake of being around. If you don't want to be around, then don't be around. Just don't waste time, because I haven't got time to waste with anybody.
Yeah, you become selective and actually stingy with your time. Stingy with your time, because it's so precious.
I am quite stingy with my time. To be honest, in the winter, you won't really see me that much. I'm a bit of a hermit. I'm not built for this cold weather.
But that's why I'm so privileged to actually have you on the show, that you are spending time with my listeners to share your story and to recap on what sounds like an incredible year, and to have raised awareness on something so, well, I mean, so life-changing, first of all. And I know you were sent home with literature that wasn't even connected remotely to your diagnosis. Do you know if anything has changed in that aspect?
I'm not really sure. I think Cancer Research UK updated their website a little bit more about pseudomyxoma. But yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think I would hope, but it's the NHS and it's the GPs, and they're quite ignorant to a lot of things. It's quite sad how I saw just last week the waiting lists for gynecology and general surgeries in the UK can be up to six, seven months. I mean, if someone's got a cancer they don't know about and you're made to be wait 6 or 7 months, that time could be critical to that illness. You can't, but they're just playing with lies. But I just don't know what to say about that. It's shocking, really.
No, I also don't know what to say, but the one thing we can do is highlight it that there is definitely room for improvement because obviously the NHS is it's stretched, and one of my previous guests, Nathaniel Dye, he fell exactly in that time frame. He'd been diagnosed, and I think he waited over 100 days for his actual treatment, which in the end turned a, I think, manageable bowel cancer to actually terminal.
Yeah,
So,
you're shocking, isn't it? You just don't know. I mean, there's someone that I know in Gatwick, and she's not feeling very well, and she's been waiting for gynecology, and you just think, like, what the hell? Are they not learning anything from people going out there telling their stories? Because through the media throughout the year, I've noticed a lot of people are actually going out now and speaking about their cancers. Like this gentleman in Brighton, I can't remember his name, he was in the Argus, and he had brain tumor. There's a lady I saw on one of the Facebook community groups in my village. She sadly passed away because she got misdiagnosed. And when I hear stories like this, I just sit and I think that could have easily been me. Like, you just don't know. I mean, they assured me that they were going to leave it in when they did my surgery. We haven't taken it out. We've left it alone. We're going to refer you to Basingstoke. And I just couldn't understand, like, how can you make that call that you've seen a cancer? When you've been in to take the cyst out of me, you've left it because you say it's not doing anything. How can you make that call on someone's life? I mean, in hindsight, it worked for me, but it might not work for another. And every week, every month, you're waiting for a surgery or an appointment. That could be weeks or months that make a massive difference to what is going on with your condition and whether you're, got something more sinister.
Absolutely.
And the doctors are just still fobbing people off to this day, and it does. Honestly, it makes me so angry that I wish I could go out and just shove my story in the faces and say, "Look, you need to look at this." But a few people on Instagram have actually come to me and said I had to go to the doctors, my appendix burst. However, I did tell my GP or I did tell my surgeon about your story, so my story is being used in that sort of sense as well to highlight to their GPs that, hold on, there's this girl out there. She had these pains. She had this. Could it be this? Do you think maybe you could test me? So, my story has made a difference in some way, but not enough for the hospitals and the GPs. No, I don't think that it will change.
So you've still got a lot of work cut out for you, but I know you're doing it with a passion and you are continuously raising awareness. So in closing for today's show, please just wrap up everything you've learned and everything you wish for that you would have known prior to going into this.
So everything I've learned is, my mum always said to me, you can look A-star from the outside, but you don't know what's going on the inside. And I believe that now with obviously what I've been through, because I didn't look like I would have had this cancer growing in me for 5 years. So I was very active, healthy. But I think what I've learned is we are our own advocate. If you think something is wrong, go and get tested, go and get a scan. Don't let them fob you off and say, oh, we don't think it's that, we don't think it's this. It doesn't matter what they think, because at the end of the day, it's your life on the line and not theirs. And I think any GP that, thinks, oh, we'll just diagnose you with this or we'll tell you it's this without fully investigating, it's not right. So all I can say to anyone going into the new year is I hope everyone's happy and healthy. Everyone gets their clear scans if they're going through the cancer, any sort of cancer. But always just push, push, push for tests and scans, because it really could save your life, like it saved mine.
Absolutely. Such wise words and very, very true. And Yes, take it to heart. If you're listening to this, take it to heart, and you are your own best advocate. Like Faye said, the doctor, they do their best, but at the end of the day, they go home, and you are the one living with the symptoms and hopefully the pain, exactly, and then hopefully a diagnosis.
I mean, there is so many types of cancer out there that, you know, a cough could be a form of cancer now, or a backache, or anything like that. So just push for it. Just push for whatever you can. Because someone said to me during this whole journey is, if you're driving down the road and you see the engine light come on your car, do you ignore it?
Mm-hmm.
No, you get that straight into the garage because you're worried about what's wrong with the car, because you need the car for commuting, for socializing. Mm-hmm. So just think of your body as your car. If you feel that something's flagging up, headaches, backaches, stomach aches, whatever, go and get checked. Don't leave that check light on, because it could be something that really needs attention sooner and could save your life.
Yes, I absolutely love that comparison, because...
Yeah, so did I. When I heard it, I was like, oh my God, that is so true. I mean, my car's been giving me aggravation for the last few months, but I don't leave her engine light on.
No, and
the garage.
Yes, and we always take a back seat. Our own health takes a back seat. Like you also said, you don't want to be selfish, but it's not selfish. It's being caring for yourself, which I think we have sort of forgotten how to do, to take care of ourselves, because society thinks, okay, you're just sitting and doing nothing, you must be lazy. No, you are actually taking care of yourself and giving yourself rest, and be assured that when that red light flickers, you know. But a lot of people have forgotten to listen to their body and for the signs, and then they brush it off because, oh, it's most probably just backache, or you're just feeling nauseous. But if something like that persists, please, I invite you, do go to the doctor, do have it checked out, because peace of mind will it can save your life, and you are assured then that there is nothing, or if there is something, you take it to the next level, and you can, you can look towards a future, because if you leave it too late, we all know those stories, unfortunately.
Yeah. And not only that, I think if you don't know, and you know, you can sit at home, it will affect your mental health as well. I mean, mentally, my mental health is very up and down through the whole of the cancer journey and recovery. But, you know, like I said, I'm here to feel things. You know, I might feel upset or I might cry, but at least I can still be here to do that. And I think for anyone that's going through it, it's okay to feel what you're feeling. Like, all your feelings are valid. Anyone that feels anything through life, you know, depression, anxiety, stress, all your feelings are valid. So never feel ashamed about speaking out about how you feel. Because I think, you know, we should be encouraged to speak out about our mental health a lot more, rather than just sitting at home with it, and it just drives you bananas, really, if you just stay in your own head.
Absolutely. Faye, I wish you all the best for the new year. I can't wait to see what you are all still going to do with raising awareness, of course, and living your best life.
Yeah, I was asked to go back to some modelling, but I'm a little bit 50-50 on it still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I just feel like, you know, like you can just, like you said, it's like going back to work, it's going back to an aspect of your old life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really like mentally inside your head, you're like, this is my new life now. I've come through the cancer,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to go back to old things.
Yeah.
So I think that's how modeling at the moment makes me feel. I mean, I do a couple of pictures online and stuff, but studio, like full on stuff, I'm not really sure. But you never know. I might change my mind next year and do something. You never know what comes up.
As I said, whatever you do, I'll be watching and cheering from the sideline. And I wish you all the best. And thank you so much for spending this precious time with me and the listeners of Stoma for Life.
Thank you. And good luck for your own results as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye. Bye.